please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. All right, if you stand with me, please, while I read the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. And we've been talking about this chapter. We even preached a different message from it on Sunday morning and dealt with some things there. But in verse 18, he's coming down to the end of the book. He's been exhorting them about living for God in days, perilous times, last day scoffers would come walking after own lust and talking about all that, and that we need to be very diligent about the things of God. In verse 17, he said, "You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before," what he'd been talking about, that you know about them. He stirred their minds up, wanting them to think about it. But notice verse number 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And that verse of scripture says a whole lot to us. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. After that, you may be seated. Father, just want to take a moment and say thank you for all of your blessings. And Lord, sure you've been good to us. And tonight's been a blessing to be in the house of God. Our Father, I thank you for the testimonies. Thank you, God, for the singing. I thank you tonight for the praying. I thank you, Lord, for all that's been said and done, and the praise unto your name and worshiping you. And Father, surely we bow our heads, humble our hearts, and worship and adore our darling Savior. Our Father, we ask now tonight that you'd help us share like we ought to share. We realize without a touch of God, it'll be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. But Lord, if that divine touch of God, the empower and take the word, and you said your word would not return void to accomplish that wherein that you send it. And so we pray tonight you take your word, use it for your glory, help us preach. We'll thank you. I plead the blood in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We started the message on last Wednesday night on this subject of Christian growth. And talked about a baby being born and then seeing it grow, and how that, and when a person is saved, they're a baby in Christ, but then you want to see them grow, and we all need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But again, I say to you very emphatically that you can't watch a baby grow unless a baby gets born. And so sometimes we try to get people to grow that's never been saved. And if you've never been saved, they can't grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus until, first of all, they're born in the family of God. You're here tonight unsaved. I pray God speak to your heart, deal with your life, that you'll understand and see and realize that you need to be born into the family of God. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because the Bible says you must be born again. The Bible said that you must come to know Jesus. And there's neither is there salvation in the other. There's none of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's the only way there is. In fact, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man coming to the Father but by me." Now, our world today is being filled with propaganda that there's many ways to get to heaven, but it's not true. It's just not true. If you believe the Bible, you cannot believe that, because the Bible makes it very plain. There's but one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There's not but one name you can pray in. That's the name of Jesus. And not but one mediator between us and God. That's the man, Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. I'm glad, praise God, that he is my mediator, my Savior, my Lord. And we know him. Now, last week we talked about prayer. Now, we've taken physical things and make an allegory out of this for the spiritual. And we talked about eating, or not eating last week, I'm going to do tonight, but we talked about breathing last week. And first thing the doctor wants that baby to do when he gets born is breathe and take a breath and make it out of squall. Amen. That's one time you're glad to hear the baby cry. Amen. When he first born, you want to hear him cry. You want to hear him make a cry out and hear him make some noise because you know he's breathing. And or her, whichever way the case may be, but that breathing is a necessary thing. The fact is, if you don't breathe, you just can't make it. Amen. And about praying, he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Then we talked about the Holy Spirit of God taking the groanings of our heart, interceding to God for us. And we don't know how to pray as well, but the Spirit of God does. And we're living for God in the Spirit. We can pray in the Spirit. And that's when you really pray, is in the Spirit of God. So we talked about that in breathing and praying. And I pray that God will help all of us with our prayer life. I don't know about you, but I need help in mine. I need help every day in my prayer life to pray like I ought to pray and stay close to God. And so praying is absolute necessity to grow. You'll never grow in grace if you don't pray right. Amen. And so we got to have that. But then I'm talking tonight about eating. And so I guess that's a good subject for most of us. We like to eat, so we're going to talk about that tonight. And you need to eat the right food at the right time in the right way. Now you say, well, how in the world are you going to apply that spiritually? I'm going to try. You hang with me, and we'll see what we can do with that. Eating the right food, that's not too hard to understand. If you've got a baby, you're going to have to feed it milk to start with. And then you feed that baby a little something along the way. Brother J.C. down there, he started feeding Josie stuff real quick like. And I thought, my goodness, he'll choke that baby to death. But that baby kept on eating, and she's still a-growing and eating is all I know. But they eat certain things. But now, if he fed her candy all the time, she'd be in trouble. If he just give her sweet things all the time, if you ate cake all the time, it wouldn't do much good. Your health would break down. If you just ate certain things, that one thing all the time, you'd be in trouble. You have to have a variety of food. That's good for you, amen? And the baby, as it grows, it begins to eat variety of food and gets help. And so, of course, in the spiritual realm of the allegory of that, would certainly be the Word of God. It is the food that we need to eat, is the Word of God. Amen. And we'll say more about the Word of God in just a moment. But in talking about variety, there's 66 books in the Bible and 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And every one of them's got something to say to us. And it's a little different here, a little different there. And sometimes you get hung up on some thoughts about something, some questions God asked to me this week and been trying to answer and think about and put my mind to. But I'm telling you, I thank God it's real to know Jesus and get in a book and find out what God has to say. And it's a food to our soul, amen. And we need that food. I praise God for that. And eating that variety of things. And as I said, you don't eat candy all the time. You need a yeast roll every once in a while. Amen. Don't forget that. You need a yeast roll every once in a while. And so the food, not too hard to get by, come by, what we're trying to say there. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But and the Word of God, let me plug it in while I'm on it. The Word of God, God gave us His Word in the English language in the King James Bible. Amen and amen. And we need that Bible, amen. We need that Word of God that is food to our soul. We need it. And you don't want to eat something contaminated. You don't want to eat something going to make you sick. You don't want to eat bad food. You eat good food. And so you get in a good book and you read and study and listen at the right time and eat at the right time. Now, at the right time, I know there's no time that's the wrong time to read the Bible. I understand that. But there's a right time to really get in the Word of God. There's a time when that you can get your mind and heart into it and really get into it. There's times you come to church and you're really not there. You're here, but you're somewhere else. You're here in body and you're so tired you're thinking about going to bed. And sometimes you're here and you got something on your mind that's really a burden, a problem, something that's eating at you. And you got your mind so much on that that it takes away from the service. And I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me too. There's times we just don't get in like we need to get in. Amen. As things hinder us from doing so. And so that's how it is about the Word of God. There's times to really get in. And, of course, we need to get in on Sunday morning, Sunday school, preaching Sunday night, Wednesday night. And not only that, but we need to get in the Word of God Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, as well as Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. And get something from it, whether it's in church somewhere or whether it's here. You see, you go to revival meetings, and we talk about Jubilee. And Jubilee's like getting in on the dessert and getting that, you know, really getting excited about that stuff. Some of y'all really love a certain kind of cake, and when it comes out, you really get excited about that. And my wife makes some great pecan pies, and some of you fellas really like that, and I do too. And some of you cooks around here, y'all make other certain things that are real good, and it's good. And I got a hush, or I get myself in trouble. I'm talking about which women make what. Well, I don't know much. I remember some of you, and I better not say that. But anyway, I'm glad, praise God, it's real. Amen. To eat good food is good for you at the right time. And so you need to eat. If you eat right before you go to bed, that's not really good for you. Eat a big meal right before you go to bed, your body has to work to digest it, and you don't get the rest y'all to have. Now, some of you eat late at night. I'm not fussing at you about it. That's not the Bible telling you not to do that. I'm just telling you physically it's not good for you to do that. And need to eat earlier in the day. It'll help you better because you digest before you go to bed. But same thing about the Word of God. The Word of God, now it's all right to read it and go to sleep. I don't know a better way to go to sleep than reading the Word of God. But we need to get in the Word of God sometime when we keep our eyes open. And keep our minds open, our hearts open to it. Amen. Y'all still with me? Bible. If we're going to grow right, we've got to eat right. And got to eat the right stuff, eat at the right time. And then you need to eat it in the right way. And you say, preacher, how well you mean eating the right way? Well, they say, I can't remember how many times you're supposed to chew your food. I can doubt any of us really chew it as many times as they say. But you're supposed to chew it and not gobble it down. Yeah. And fact is, if you eat too fast, you'll get choked on it. And you turn that around to preaching. There's some folk, they try to take in so fast that they get choked on it. And because the preacher said something they didn't quite understand, they get to choking and they get in. Now, I'm not sure about that. Well, maybe you're just eating it too fast. You need to slow up and start thinking about and digesting a little bit. Maybe, amen, good preaching, preacher. And you know, in Sunday school might be something. Maybe something somewhere else. But we just need to take time to digest it real good and think on it. An old cow, I was talking about cows Sunday, I get on a cow again. A cow will graze in the field, and then she'll lay down somewhere on a shade tree, and she'll bring it back up and chew it again and chew it good. That's how we need to do about the Word of God. We need to think about it, not only just hear it preached, not only just read it when we're reading it, but and hear it taught when we hear it taught, but we need to sit down and digest it and think on it and look at it and think on it again and read on it. Somebody asked me something this week and brought up a question to me that came up to them, and I had to tell them I didn't know. I'd have to look it up, have to think on it, and I got to pray about it and think about it. And I had Tim doing some research for me today on it. I'm trying to come to grips with it, but I don't know that I have the answer yet. But I do know this. I do know the Word of God's always true. It's always right. There's never any conflict in the Word of God. And I'm thankful for folk that ask questions that really want to know. And they ask because they're really interested in the Word of God. They ask because they really want to know the truth. And they ask because they really want to get that. But when somebody asks things and they just really want to argue with you, that's a different question. Amen. That's a different feel altogether. And we won't even go much there tonight. Just tell you, when a man's preaching the Word of God, as long as he's in the book, hang with him. Amen. And if you run across something you don't understand, just hang with it. Read it over and over until you can get it. Amen. And it'll help you. And don't choke on it. And that'll get you in trouble when choking. And so you need to do that. And so the right food at the right time in the right way. And we need to do that now. You thought I was finished, didn't you? I'm not. I'm thinking about that. Isaiah chapter 40, I believe about verse number 8, talks about the grass withereth and away and so forth, but said the word of our God shall stand forever. Forever. It's never going to go away. It's going to be forever. And so you can rest assured for the Word of God, it'll always be right. Now I want you to turn with me in Psalms 119. And of course that psalm is literally filled with things about the Word of God. I mean literally filled with things about the Word of God. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? You ought to thank God that you live in a country where you can have freedom to have a Bible, a good King James Bible, and read it and study it and thank God for it. Amen? Praise God for that. The greatest book that's ever been written is the Word of God. There's not been anything that would even compare to it. And even begin to compare to it. So you ought to thank God that you have the precious Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word, listen to this, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. How precious that is. Look in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, it's never going to be changed. It's forever settled in heaven. Look at verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for the testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. An explanation mark there. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though that through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. He's saying, now we have all the word of God. The ancients didn't have all the word of God. We have all the word of God. And so as we take the precepts of God, the word of God, and meditate therein, God helps us. Look in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We say that every time we pledge the Bible. It certainly is that. I thank God for it. Look in verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word. I say hallelujah, amen. And look at verse number 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Park there and preach a while, couldn't you? Let me read it again. I don't know. Make sure we all got that. Great peace have they that which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Hallelujah. You know why we get offended so much? It's because we don't love the word of God like we should. Love the word of God. You see yourself like you really are and realize the fact that you won't be so offended. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, done thy commandments. My soul have kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all thy ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Give me understanding according to thy word. The best commentary on the word of God is the word of God. Amen. Compare the word of God with the word of God. God never contradicts himself. If it ever seems like a contradiction in the word of God, it's not a contradiction. It's my problem of understanding the context in which what he's saying is being said. And many times it's taken out of context, or we're reading it and don't understand the context of it, and we make something out of it that it ought not to be. And so we have to be careful that we get it in its context of what God is really saying. Amen? And that'll help us. And then what does the Bible say about it other places? Let me give you an example about this. Jesus, when he went to wedding at Cana, he turned water to wine. And the Bible says after the men have well drunk, and they bring out the bad wine, not the good wine. Now, and people get hung up on that, and they said, well, drinking's okay because Jesus turned water to wine. And he said that he made it wine, and they had well. Now, that well drunk means they had drank a whole lot. If you drink a whole lot of coffee, you drink a whole lot of grape juice, you drink a whole lot of Pepsi Cola or Coca Cola, after a while, it's not going to be as good as it was when it started. Is that not true? How do you know it wasn't intoxicating or for a minute? Because over in the Old Testament, he said, look not on wine when it's right, when it moves itself right in the cup. Don't look on it. Amen. And said he's not wise to deceive thereby. Talking about wine. And so wine, the word wine, many different definitions of it in the Bible. But it's translated as wine. You need to find what context it's in. If it's ever in the context of not of a bad connotation to it, then you know it's fermenting. If it's a good connotation to it, then you know you're talking about grape juice. They drink grape juice in that day like you and I drink Coca-Colas or water or tea or whatever. Amen. Well, let me preach there a minute. You say, preacher, drinking's okay. Take a drink here, take a drink there. No, it's not okay. God hates him, and he's against it. And I just recently heard on the news about somebody else got killed by a drunk driver. I never forget Tanya being killed by that drunk driver. One of the hardest days of my life, of outside of my own family tragedy of some kind, is a night I went with Chris Wright's mom and dad in the room to identify Tanya Wright. I've never in my life felt like I felt that time. At that moment of time, that young lady would come to my house, bring her boyfriend, and they'd sit down and talk, and we'd laugh and talk together. And she loved God, and she had a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, and was getting ready to graduate from high school. And her and a friend had gone to make some pictures coming home. A man been drinking, got drunk, went down a four-lane highway on the wrong side of the road. They were in a small car, he was in a big car, and ran over them and killed her. And when I saw that little body of hers, my heart broke inside of me and tore me. I said, from now on, I'm going to preach harder than ever against drinking. Amen. I mean, when anything mess your mind up and get you messed up like that, it all be preached again. You don't need that. It's a sin in the sight of a holy God. And I say to you tonight, God forbid. Amen. Why did I allow it to be made and sold? I don't know. And they fuss about cigarettes, and I know you better off not smoking. Ought not smoke or dip or spit like that. Well, I spit sometimes, but I'm not about spitting snuff or all that kind of stuff, you know. I'm talking about that kind of stuff. That may be bad, but I'm telling you what, at least it don't knock them out of their mind. At least it don't make them do things they wouldn't do otherwise. Amen and amen. That's good preaching. I'm telling you, now, amen, we need to understand, and our world and our society has gone crazy about this thing of drinking. Amen. And saying it's all right, and they'll go to church on Sunday and hear preaching and go home, get them a liquor out, a beer out, and drink it and say it's all right. It's not all right. Amen. I'm against it. You preacher, you against it? I'm against drinking a toddy if you're holding your little finger out. Amen. I'm against drinking if you're drinking out of a can, or if you're drinking out of a bottle, if you're drinking out of a spout. I'm against it. Amen. I don't care if you're down in the hog trough with the dogs. Hogs are drinking slop. I'm still against it. Amen. You don't need that. And you just say, preacher, you ought not preach like that. Why shouldn't I preach like that? I believe you should. Amen. What I'm preaching on is the Word of God. The Word of God never contradicts itself. So if he said don't look on it, and that I said many times, he didn't mean for you to close your eyes and take a drink. Amen. Don't look on it when it's red, move itself right in the cup. When it's fermented, it's wrong, and so leave it alone. And so that's just one illustration. Out of many, you can get pulled from the Word of God, and you need to take the Word of God, find out what God has to say about it, find out what God first mentioned it, when he last mentioned it, what it says about it in between time, and you'll find out something what it means. Amen. And so we need the Word of God to help us. Amen. Where was I? Verse 1, 7, somewhere. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. I'm still in Psalm 119 now. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation. O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. He said, I don't forget your commandments. I may go astray, but I don't forget your commandments. And when we go astray, God reminds us by his word and shows us that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalms 1:1-3. I love that, because he said, blessed is that man that don't walk in the counsel of ungodly. And blessed is that man, his delight's in the law of the Lord. In this law doth he meditate day. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'll never forget when one evening I went out west, and I went out there and preaching a mission for a missionary out there, and we got to go see some things on the way, but I remember driving up through some western states, and dry, I mean, all you could about see was some tumbleweed once in a while, and a shrub here and a shrub there, but every once in a while in the distance, you see some green trees, and they'd be going like that, And as you got closer, you could tell what it was. There was a creek there. Hey, some water. Hey, something running through there. Hey, was some water. Those trees were growing there because their roots had went down. And they wasn't getting much rain. And wasn't anything much happening there, but they were getting rain somewhere up in the mountains. It was running down. And they was getting it down there and that water running through. And those roots were tapping in. And they getting into that water. Hallelujah. I like to get that with the Word of God. You get tapped in just right, you get some help, amen. And you can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got to bring it to a close. I realize we've been here a while tonight, but I'm enjoying myself and having a good time. Amen. I want to tap into the Word. Amen. How the Word's all about Jesus Christ. From Genesis through Revelation, it's all about redemption. In Genesis 1 through 11 tells about the need of redemption. Man sinned. Man failed. Man came short of the glory of God. He needed to be redeemed. And then the call of Abraham shows us a channel through which redemption would come. And he shows us about the call of Abraham, the building of Israel, a coming, a promise of Messiah, the Word of God, and so forth. And then in the Gospels, Matthew through John, you have the purchase of redemption. And Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and purchased our price. Actually, redeem means to buy back. Amen. And fact is, if you study the word redeem out through the Bible, it means to be bought back, to buy back out of a slave market and cannot be returned. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, I have been redeemed. I've been brought out of the slave market and cannot be returned to that slave market anymore. Hallelujah. I plug that in while I run back. In the book of Acts, it is a proclamation of the gospel of redemption as it went out. Somebody said Jesus went up, the Holy Ghost came down, and the church went out. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Going out, taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus out to a lost and a dying world. And then you have in the epistles the explanation of redemption and telling us about Jesus dying for us and then about living for him, who delivered us from so great a death, doeth deliver, in whom we trust he will yet deliver us. 2 Corinthians 1 and 10. I'm glad, praise God, he did deliver me from the power of sin. He has now delivered me from sin that held penalty of sin. He has now delivered me from the power of sin, and he shall deliver me from the very presence of sin. I praise God, he explained that to me. And Paul said, Jesus coming back and taking us out of here. I say, hallelujah. Then let me say, last of all, the consummation of redemption. That's found in Revelation. It said, God shall wipe away all tears from thy eyes. Be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I say, hallelujah. I'm glad it's all about redemption. What a book. What a blessed, sacred document we have in our hands. The Word of God. God gave us his Word. And I know him saved. How do you know you're saved, preacher? Because of this blessed book. Amen. The Holy Spirit dwells inside, gives me a witness of that. But this word tells me where I came from, tells me where I'm going, what I'm doing here, and where I'm going. And by the way, everybody ought to know that. Y'all know where you came from. You came by creation of Almighty God. Evolution is not true. I told it many times. You could take a watch apart, throw it up in the air, catch it in a pan, a bucket or something. It'd never come back down, put together, ticking, taking, keeping time. You think this explosion all happened and sun just happened to stop where it did, moon happened to stop where it did, earth stopped where it did, you happen to be just someone a little, happened to be some water on the earth, happened to be something come alive out of it. My soul, what holds it together today? If the moon didn't have its gravitational pull, we'd flood. Oceans wouldn't hold back. The sun didn't shine, we'd all die. Hey, God put everything, a little bit closer we'd burn up, a little further away we'd freeze. God put everything just right. Thank God he did. That's where we came from. What are we doing here? We're here for his glory. We're here to worship him, have fellowship with him. Number three, where are you going? Going to heaven or hell? One or the other. Everybody needs to answer those questions. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the privilege to open the word of God. Try to share thy word. And I pray tonight, Lord, you'd help all of us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we take the Word of God, study, listen to it taught, hear it preached, I pray you'd seal it to our hearts and do a work in our lives. And Father, help us to grow thereby. I pray for those that may be here lost tonight. They're without God. I pray the Holy Spirit bring conviction, Draw and be a power. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's